So we pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence this morning and thank you for your instruction in the word of righteousness, which makes us wise unto salvation and literally gets us to know you, Lord. We thank you for that, and we pray the revelation of yourself shall be so profound that it truly influence our lives. Even as Brother Branham said, if you really got to know who Jesus Christ is, your life would change. And we know our lives have changed, Lord, or even for a greater change, because our bodies will come into alignment with that truth. But in the meantime, Father, we know we have the will and the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome all things and stand forth, Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory. Help us to do that same thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we started a little article on the fact of the spread of the AIDS, which Brother Branham told us would be humankind walking the earth, actually their flesh rotting upon their bodies. And I just wanted to make known to you, to make sure you understood from the first chapter of Romans, that the rejection of God, the true and the living God, God who can be known, in that rejection then comes the people who will take substitutes. There'll be the hypocrites who will take the very word of God to deny the word of God, to destroy the word of God, holding down the truth in unrighteousness, which means they will substitute their own understanding for a true revelation. And this will lead to serious problems within the human race, and then will devolve into homosexuality of the male and the female, lesbians and homos. Positively will bring about the incorruption and will bring us to the place of Sodom, wherein the government, knowing better, and perhaps even in cases trying to do better because they have some sort of a conscience like Lot, were forced to give in to the homosexuals, who are then literally running everything because they're perverse minds. And at this particular time, Brother Branham said that no politician could make a correct decision. So therefore, the decisions would be apart from righteousness. And you have that absolutely rampant in the land today. Now, at the time that Brother Branham went to India in 1954, that was a showdown, as I mentioned, where he challenged all the religions of the earth to come forth in the name of the Lord God and pray, and this man would be delivered from his blindness, which was caused by worshiping the sun, where the scripture says they worship creation more than the creator. And at that time, there was with that group that went to Europe a Christian pro-gospel businessman identified with them named Ferry von Blomberg. Even the name is typical, Ferry. And not trying to be facetious, but look at it, it's absolutely true. That was his name, and he was an avowed homosexual. And at the same time, Leo and Jean, two homosexuals, attached themselves to Brother Branham's ministry as kid boys, which was allowed by God. And when they absolutely showed what they were, Brother God was warned Brother Branham, and I saw the vision in the vision book, leave them alone. They will leave and go into false doctrine. Now watch doctrine. People hate the thought of doctrine. They don't want me to teach doctrine. They despise it. False doctrine and destroy themselves. That's in the vision book. And they did it. Now the point is this. The greater the light, the greater the darkness. And the greater the darkness, the greater the light. But remember, the light is merely greater because of intensification as a laser. And the darkness is not only intensified, but is more widespread. So at this particular time in Brother Branham's ministry, you find sexual sins. And he was also with another man who he called his bluff in Regina. And he said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You were with a blonde last night. And he said, you mind your business, Branham, and all mind mine. And he handed his resignation. Now, I'm speaking as an authority because I stand before you, my Bible open. And I'm right before the white throne, and don't think I'm not. I know whereof I speak. So I want you to notice, at that particular time, The rejection of God in 1956 is surrounded or comes to a full peak of the essential which will bring on the full destruction, which is homosexuality. Now, always around the darkness, or in the midst of the darkness, there is light. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness can do nothing about it, neither can it understand it, apprehend, or comprehend. See, it can't do it. Neither can it do anything against it, for we can do nothing against the truth but for it. So no matter how this message goes out, even if it's not explained correctly, there's no such thing as deception to the child of God that is of God and a predestinated, foreknown, elected, predestinated. So, all right, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. This is the crux of the whole thing. And there is a growing problem in the whole universe with homosexuality. And it's pervasive, it's everywhere. But in America, because of our laws and our politicians, we're not like Africa. We look at Africa and say, oh, there you are, there you are. God's judgment on the heathen. Oh, yes, there it is. In India, the same thing. Oh, yes, it's spreading. But it's not covered up there where it's covered up here. We're very anxious in America to trumpet loudly the sins of everybody else but ourselves. It's a beautiful cover-up. In other words, it's known as the best defense is a strong offense. And that's what America's done. So, we are in the place now of total destruction, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom. And in the days of Noah, God pitied the remnant on earth that was standing there. In the end time, the Bible says that God will have to call an end, because all flesh also has come up before him, and all flesh would perish. But of course, the bride's going to be out of here. So, although all the events are not in, concerning the final moments of the bride here on earth, and the catching away of the bride, and the revelation of the Antichrist, and those things which will be in the Great Tribulation, might even be a little space in between, I don't know. As there is space on earth between the resurrection and the rapture, perhaps 40 days, perhaps longer. I don't know that Brother Branham actually specified, but there'll be that gap in there. There could also be a gap, and perhaps no doubt will be, a gap between the time that the bride is gone and when the great tribulation sets in, that 3.5 years, there could be a gap. I don't know. I really suspect that there is, because time is not that important to God, and it certainly won't be that important to us. But the major events are in. Israel's back in the homeland. According to the book of Romans, when Israel goes back to the homeland, there will be a resurrection. See? Absolutely. Israel will no longer be blinded. They are now turning to the light. And it's strange, after all these years, they're still looking for Messiah. And you'll notice that when he does come, the prophets, of course, coming on earth to prove reality, they'll be turned down just the same as they've always been turned down, and only the 144,000 be saved. So we are at the end time. Make no mistake about it. Judgment has set in. The bride has already been judged. Brother Branham said that. He said, when you sing that song, I'll go with you through the judgment. He said, you've already gone through it. You're going through it. Why? Because it is the judging word. Because the prophet is here. He is with the vindicated word. The vindicated word, which is the revealed word, is always judge. That's why a judge is set in the earth. He has to know the law. He has to interpret the law. He has to apply the law. It has been. That's why Brother Branham could say, thus saith the Lord, you're the righteous, perfect, sinless, pure bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. It all falls back on the devil because you're trapped into it. So these are some of the things that Brother Branham said at the end time. That's the laser light that comes from above. That's the light that is shot through the ruby or the gem that excites the properties within it to the extent that it is completely perfect. And you'll notice that they're using the laser even on the eye. When the eye, the macula is degenerating, and it could turn from the dry to the weeping, they can focus a laser in there. They'd be thousands and thousands part of an inch and just sear that completely without doing any damage. And that's the way it is with the sword of the Lord, the laser light coming down, discerning and dividing and separating, not harming, but bringing out the health and the truth in the body, because the body of truth must be restored in the world, in the bride. And God has done that with His Word. He's, at one time, He has actually cut away the putrefaction, and at the same time, laid a layer of health. And that's what the laser does. They apply a certain medicine in there to the eye, and the laser excites that, by the light, excites the medication, and the eye can heal. So God pins His laser light, a revelation upon the Word within us, cuts away all the putrefaction, making a perfect bride, dressing her at the same time. In the outer man, though perishing, he'll come back on this earth, and though standing here, we'll go into immortality. You have everything here that is absolutely delightful to the inner man, to the inner ear, to the inner portion, as you begin to relate this Word and know that this is the hour and this Word is being fulfilled, and it is living Word. Living Word manifested. The very Word that speaks about the prophet, where the prophet's living Word of God made manifest. The same thing is with the bride today. And her manifestation will be proven that she is that living Word of God made manifest in the resurrection and in the change to immortality and the catching away. So, all right. I just wanted to go over that again to make sure you're getting what I'm talking about, because we have to relate the two and make you understand that there cannot be the laser light coming through God's ordained channel, the prophet, bringing us absolute truth. Brother Branham said, find that woman of such character to stand still in the water of separation and then be dressed by the Word of the Lord. Where he said the Word of God is the sword, then he said the word of God standing by, and which definitely is that the Word of God is twofold in its message this morning and the years we've had, cutting away everything that is not of God and bringing to life everything that is of God. And that's the way the millennium is. And then above that and beyond that is when the new heavens and the earth and so on. All right. We're going to go. Last night we also looked at John 1:1. The beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now, you cannot for 1 minute deny the way the Bible is written. In the beginning was the Word. And we leave out the peripheral, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So therefore, we have something in the beginning in to which God is identified and is actually of God and must be so much a part of God that there cannot be any identification of God apart from whatever is there, which is called Logos, so that God Himself is known as the Logos. And we understand, of course, what that is. That's the ability to look things over, to see and to sort them out, to pick them up, analyze, parse, put together. And you see, therefore, that God is not only the great creator of all, but He is the great maintainer, and He is constantly showing and manifesting Himself forth to whatever He wishes and to whomever He wishes to manifest Himself, and it all comes down to His children. Not the angels, not archangels, not this and not that. And that's the principle of the Omega. Because the Omega is the New Jerusalem and the New Heavens and the New Earth, the Bride and the New Jerusalem, the attendants, the Lamb on the throne, God above the throne in the pillar of fire, and also the 24 elders, the beasts, and whatsoever God has created and maintains for His glory. wherein the bride is self-maintaining in this respect, she is a part of God, and no part of God ever dies. It always was. See, so you understand these things. All right. We also saw last night that Jesus is not deity. But I'll read to you from Brother Branham and point out what I could not point out in Psalm 45 last night, although it was there. All right, reading from Brother Branham, he says, Jesus said in John 14:12, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than this shall he do because I go to my Father. Did you notice that? Notice now. That was the Son of God promising to the believer that greater things than he, the Son of God, did in these last days, that the believer would do greater things than he did. St. John 14, chapter 14, verse 12. Is that right? Do you believe Jesus said it? Now, Brother Branham will be totally denied here by anybody but those who believe in a vindicated prophet and believe the truth. This will be denied. Notice, when Jesus created bread, he took a piece of bread and created bread that had already been bread. When he created fish, he took a fish that was first created a fish and put another fish out of it. Is that right? He took water, which will, potentially, would have become wine, and made wine out of it. Is that right? Brother Branham said he simply bypassed the processes in another place. But we've seen him in our midst in these last days create things right out without anything standing there. Is that right? He can create a squirrel where there is no squirrel. That's right. All he remains God. He's just as much deity today as he was then and ever was or will be. He's still God and changing hearts to believe it. Greater things than this shall you do without anything to hold and break off of. Speak it and it'll be so. Now, he's relating his own experience back to the Bible, which he has to, because there can be nothing actually new, as the Bible teaches us, and we have to always go back to the prophets. And Brother Branham is saying here, Jesus himself took that which was and multiplied it. But in this case, the squirrels were created from nothing because God said to him, speak, and it will be so. And he was taking that from Mark, speak to this mountain, and it'll move. For whatsoever you say, and you believe in your heart, and without doubt, then it will happen unto you. And Brother Branham spoke it, but you notice that he within himself was not able to carry it through. And God said, but you said, and he was held to his word. Now, when God took the fish, actually Jesus, but God in Jesus, did the work. He took that fish, broke it, and multiplied. He took the bread and multiplied. Now, when I stood behind Brother Branham in 1953 in December in Florida, West Palm Beach. As I told you, I held in my hand the microphone cord, and Brother Branham made a couple of, picked up the chair and made a couple of complete revolutions, and the microphone cord was around his body, which Billy Paul warned me, never let that cord out of my hand, because his dad had a terrible time with the microphone. He hated it. He'd like something like I've got. The wireless type. But he didn't have one. And as I held it and it went around him, I was horrified because I was responsible to see that that cord was never wrapped around him. As I told you, I gave a one gentle little tug and it fell right around his ankles. Now, you know the law of the fulcrum. You know, if you have, my fingers are not quite 2 feet from my elbow, and I'll tell you, it's much harder to put pressure there, but up here it's just zip. My elbow goes. See, that's the law of the fulcrum. You know, the distance times the weight is always multiplied by the distance. And I thought, oh God, one little move in his ankles, he's gone. It's going to be disastrous. And I watched that line straightened out. Just identical to the multiplying of loaves and fishes, which is equivalent to a creation. I'm the only man living can tell you that. You ought to take my testimony, do what you want. But I can tell you one thing, except for seeing that happen, I don't believe that I could have believed that brother, actually squirrels were created. See, I'm very honest with you people. I tell you just what I am inside and outside, and if you, that's your business if you believe or not. But I've got my problems the same as you've got your problems. I'm a human being, and I'm no prophet. And I'm certainly not one who's ever seen enough to say, well, I really have talked to God, this and that, and the other thing. Everything I have is watered down, secondhand, and very, very far from a prophet or anything like that. But I can tell you as I stand here this morning, if you don't believe me, I will meet you down the road. And even if I go to hell, you'll be there too, and I'll step on your head. Now, that's a little humor thrown in maybe, but I am the one tough cookie. Because I know what I saw. I was there, and I did not blink my eye. Identical. Brother Branham brought them both up. They are identical. And if you can believe that Jesus took a dead substance and multiplied it, you can believe squirrels were created, and they were. And you can deny me this morning all you want, and people will around the world. It doesn't matter to me. They're not denying me. They're denying God. So, oh, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. Please, listen, be honest with me this morning. Would you care to walk out? Walk out. Be honest. Check mine and say, Brother Vail, I think you're stupid, a liar, and a jackass. But at least you had the guts to get up there with your lies. Now, that's playing it pretty tough right on the table. And that's the truth before God, knowing there's a God in heaven, this Bible open before me. I am not lying to you. Unless I was hypnotized or taken over by the devil, which I was not. All right, let's go further. You were talking about deity. Jesus is not deity, but he was the fullness of the Godhead as deity, which is Godhead, was within him, which is a person. Two persons in one body of flesh. And if you think that's hard to understand, how come you've got the Holy Ghost? Huh? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't it strange how people can say, oh, hallelujah, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, bless God, and then deny God and a prophet? Bunch of hypocrites. And the Pentecostals are the worst of the worst because they're the one that foster, program, and rely upon the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Then when he came, he was the fullness of all the prophets. He's talking about Jesus. The fullness of all the prophets manifested because they were the word of the Lord, and he said himself, if you call those gods to whom the word of the Lord comes, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? In other words, I'm a prophet. I am that prophet of whom Moses spoke. And if you can accept Moses, you can accept me. I'm the one of whom Moses spoke. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. And not only that, but he had a greater testimony, because you have to receive the testimony of two people to be valid. He had the Bible, laid it out, proved who he was, and God answered back to thus saith the Lord the way it is done in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, see, even those in that age were anointed as gods, small g, D-O-S. God, capital G-O-D, called them himself gods. What were they? They were manifestations of his word. And here he was, the fullness of the word, deity embodied, amen, deity manifested in the flesh. Okay, now let's go to Psalm 45. And here is my answer to Psalm 45. The best I can do. 45. Now it says, In verse 6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Even the scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, Thy God. So He's calling one God, the great God of heaven. Is giving His name and position to this one. If He gave His name and position through complete identification and indwelling, then this is one of whom He is speaking. So if He called them gods, then Jesus can be elevated as the fullness of the word to a position of God to the people as a prophet never was. And He's still the same and will be, because after the New Jerusalem, He will be on the throne visible and the pillar of fire above the throne. So that's how I look at this and see and understand what Paul is saying, quoting from the Psalms. And it's based upon being not just a prophet, God to the people, but actually the prophet, the fullness of the word, not as Moses or anyone else, but as this one. He would then take the higher position as God over the prophets, even the prophets having been called that. Because if they were manifestations of His word, and you can't deny that John the Baptist was. He was not only a prophet, but greater than a prophet. But remember, they said, who are you? And he said, Now Isaiah was not divided into verses. But if he were here today, he would have said, I am Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 3. I am that word, the living, I am the word of Isaiah, the word of God, which has life, the life of God in it. And here I am, this word made flesh. Well, is that wrong or is that right? I told that to the people in Greece. That's the first time the message went to Greece, in Athens, Greece. Very beautiful pastor there, a very lovely person. There were millionaires sitting in the congregation and generals, what have you. And I laid her right in the line. I said, can you deny that John was the Word of God made flesh? See, they couldn't do it because Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Then Moses was the Word of God made flesh. The prophets were the Word of God made flesh. And in our own order, we're the Word of God made flesh. In our own disorder. At the end of the service, we had a very excellent translator born in New York. She was the wife of a general sitting there, Mary Metalkitis. And she interpreted for me as the man came behind me, the pastor. And he very gently said, we have heard many strange things today, but do not put them to one side because they could be true. I don't know what happened. Any man would dare to deny that John was the living word of God made flesh, I'd nail him right there. A brother, sister, I would nail him like he never was nailed. I'd say, get out of my sight. Get out of my sight because you're out of the sight of God. Well, true or not true? Then what about you and me as predestinated ones? Well, Brother Zale, I'm so humble. You're not humble, you're a liar. And you're so puffed up like the devil, you couldn't believe God's word if you tried. I told you I could slash and be hard. I'm not here mean to anyone in this church here. I'm laying principle out. I'm not just talking about anybody in this church, anybody that hears the tape. I am talking about principle. 2 and 2 make 4. 3 and 3 make 6. God in Jesus' body makes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The prophet is the living word of God made manifest. And you know that even Cyrus, mentioned 400 years before his birth, a heathen king, is mentioned in scripture by name. Then he was the word of God made flesh. Whatever flesh that was, don't. He said, my shepherd Cyrus. Huh? Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. And get to know them. Brother Branham said, I've said this before, I might say it again. I was talking to a woman not long ago in a certain church I mentioned here a while ago that doesn't believe he was God, his deity. He was just a prophet, an ordinary man. Now you see, Brother Brand didn't say he wasn't a prophet. He said he was just not an ordinary man prophet. He was that truly, sure. He was a prophet. He was that plus God. See? He was a manifestation. Jesus is the body, the boy, the man. God was what indwelt him. Now, can you have a him without the body? No. At the River Jordan, God entered the body of a man, 30 years of age, who had walked around, who had been circumcised after the 8th day, who'd had his diapers changed, who went from breastfeeding to normal feeding, who grew up, who was sent to the temple. At age 13, he had to be inducted in the temple as a man. We're talking about a man who ate and fished and drank. God was in him. He was a God-man. He was a man. Yet he was God manifested in flesh. Whose flesh did God manifest in? The flesh of Jesus, yet it was his own flesh. Because he created the egg and the sperm. Wrapped himself in it in order to get the blueprint of God. God manifests in flesh. When we see Jesus, we see God. That's what he said. When you see the Father, you see me. You see the Father. Because he was the reflection. Because he was the Word. Amen. That was in the beginning. Brother Branham called him reflection. Paul called him the image. And so when Brother Branham says reflection, go back to Paul. Image. See the discrepancy. Well, Jesus prayed that we should all be one. Then he also said, can you walk together, two walk together, lest they be agreed? He said, one like him and the Father are one. And the Father was the Word, and he was the Word made manifest. He was one with the Father because he was the manifestation of God's promised Word. So it is today or any other day. Yes, sir. That God is one. He wants us to be one. How can this be one? This one denying the virgin birth, and this don't, denying divine healing, and this, that, all of them in a mess like that. In other words, there's not a common unity of mind. And so he's saying, if there's not a unity of mind in the Word, how can God be in that midst of that people? And if there's not a common unity of mind individually with God, how can they be walking together? That's why it says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And that's why Brother Branham said how you ought to love each other, you that love this Word. See? You see how it all comes together. So don't, some of them even don't even believe in God, believe he was the Son of God, believe he was the Son of Joseph, called the Son of God, certainly. The twin brother to the Lutheran Zwinglis believe that he was absolutely just a good man. The Christian Scientist said he was a prophet, just an ordinary man. He wasn't divine. Now, if you use the word divine, you're using the word divinity or deity. Why he wasn't divine? Why, if he wasn't divine, he's the greatest deceiver the world ever had. He was God or he was nothing. He was divine. He was deity himself, made flesh among us, the person of the Son of God. Certainly, that's what he was. Now, some of the language is kind of convoluted there. Like the last little bit of it. He said he was deity himself made flesh among us in the person of the Son of God, which is true. That's certainly what he was. So when you talk about the two, you must remember Brother Branham said it was a duality. Always a duality. One time Jesus spoke, one time the Father spoke. But always the thoughts of Jesus had to be organized or given by God himself. Then he said, well, if you'll turn the picture like this, that's the cloud over here, no doubt the cloud. He said, you can probably see it in the audience, it's Christ. See his eyes looking here just as perfect as it could be, wearing the white wig of supreme deity and judge of all the heavens and earth. Can you see his eyes, his nose, his mouth? Just turn the picture from this way and that way, as it's supposed to be. He's the supreme judge. There's none other but him. And that is a perfect identification, a vindication that this message is the truth. It is true and making him not a third person, but the only person. Now, if you notice then, if he's the only person, not a third person, he's talking about Elohim himself. Why? Because God is the judge of all the earth. Now, you can't go to Genesis 18, I believe it is, where he said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" and then put the judge someplace else. Jesus himself said judgment was referred back to the Father. So, all right, there's more verses then on deity, and you can see that Brother Branham is not making Jesus God, as some would have it. And he's not making the Logos Jesus Christ. He's identifying it in the singular, because when God left the flesh, he went back to being or indwelling, if so he desired, the manifestation that he gave to prophets. He gave to Israel visibly for a while, but he never gave to the public again, which was the pillar of fire, which was to singularly the prophet. Now, remember when Brother Branham had a meeting in 1960, when he preached the church ages, the people could see the very pictures that William Branham drew, which were the pictures of the eclipse of the church ages. And he said, "You saw one, but I saw two." He said, "You only saw the reflection. You did not see the original." And it's a good thing Brother Branham cleared that up, or the people would have been mistaken that they literally saw the pillar of fire, which they could not. It was not given them to be that. Some people say they saw a light, they see this and that. Look, I was in Pentecost a long, long time, and you look for lights, and, you know, actually you're almost psychedelic. It's a psychedelic religion, if there ever was one. Flashing lights and horns are blasting, you know, and beep, beep. It'll put the Dayton fireworks to shame, which are coming up on Tuesday. I can laugh at it now. Believe me, it was no laughing matter. I was in error. I was in error thinking I could get into some realm that only is reserved for certain people. And believe me, brother, sister, you can get into realms that don't belong to you, but you better watch out. It'll prove one thing right off the bat, that you are phony baloney. Huh? Well, what about your own body? What if your liver tried to act like your kidneys? Huh? You better get a new set of kidneys for your liver. God said, "I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. I heal all diseases. I'm God and I change not." Amen. And God is Word and God doesn't change. How's the Word going to change? See, I'm God. I cannot change. The Scripture says that. God said it himself. And if he cannot change, then he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, unchangeable Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Yes, sir. And now, you see, Brother Branham puts John 1 and 1 and John 14 together, 1:14, which is exactly true. It was the Word that became flesh, which was God himself. See? God raised up bodies all down through Moses, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, all down where the Word temporarily came. But the full Word was made manifest in this man, Jesus Christ. The full Word was made manifest in Jesus Christ. And so they took Willie the whale and put him in a pool. It was still Willie the whale put in the pool. It's still God put in a human body. Right? Okay, learn to parse it, because parsing is very valuable. Parsing is actually revelation, which he was God in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was made flesh. I believe that every word. Well, let's face it. Jesus was made flesh. You and I were made flesh. God was made flesh. God had a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left that body, one body. Then the same Spirit, God's Spirit, part of God, came back, starting at Pentecost, appeared in a cloud, and little tongues of fire came down on each person showing God dividing himself, but not becoming less. He only divided of himself what he wanted divided and put it in the vessels, human vessels, cleansed by the blood, separated in water baptism, now full of the Holy Ghost, to seal to the day of redemption. And when the day of redemption finally comes, nobody else gets sealed in. Temporary. Okay. Pardon me. All right. Also, Brother Branham said, that's the reason they failed to recognize Jesus being the Son of God. Their traditions had blinded their eyes, but he was exactly with the Scripture. He wasn't only exactly with the Scripture, he was the Scripture. The prophets were the same. Jesus said, which of your fathers didn't stone those prophets who were sent to you? Then God sends his prophets, and the prophet is the living word of God made manifest. Boy, that's a tough one to swallow. Certain guy in Canada was kicking up his heels and literally one of those birds that was destroying the message. And I remember, brother, I just talked to Joe Raskaby about this one, and I said, you know, that's what the prophet is, the living word of God made manifest. So, and they got tangling with Joe. Joe quoted that. And the preacher, so-called, he was infuriated. And the other guy said, blasphemy. And Joe said, well, just a minute, I'm going to show it to you. Picked up his book and showed him. Those same two birds, they don't believe today. See, if you were a real believer, you'd rejoice. Why, that's not just spoken about a prophet. That's spoken to you and me. So we can understand and revel in and have this perfect faith. People right around the world are still looking at the message, perfect faith. They're thinking, oh boy, I'm going to have that. Oh boy, I'm going to have that. Oh boy, I'm going to have that. You've already got it because it's a perfect revelation for the hour. Amen. You've already got it. Oh my, I understand. Jesus said, how can you condemn me and say, when I say I'm the Son of God, and you, it's called in your own laws, you said those who have... You said those who the word of the Lord came to, that's in the Psalms, which are called prophets, they're called gods, and the Scripture says the Scripture cannot be broken, then how can you condemn me? They were a part of the law, which is part of the word of God. They were part of the word of God, but Jesus was the fullness of the word of God. His whole plan of redemption, God's whole sufficiency was in him. Now, this is the quote that I use where people are misunderstanding John 1 and 1. Now, there's no reason to believe that Jesus isn't the Word. Because look, if this whole Bible here is concerning him as to the ultimate of God in the plan of God, from the Alpha to the Omega, because he was there before there was a speck of stardust, you have to recognize that he is the Word. But it's the same as the prophets. He was all where they were apart. We also are apart. Minuscule. But when it comes to God, you are talking now far above and beyond the Bible. You are talking about the one above the Bible. Without him, there wouldn't be this. And now, if he is Word, and he has progeny, the progeny must be Word. You have to accept that. We also are a part of Word. Because we were his thoughts to be expressed. So we were a part of Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, God literally compartmentalized himself and set aside that part of himself which would come into existence. And he did. So where Jesus is the full word, it is that which you compare to the prophets. But when you talk about God, Jesus himself is minuscule when compared to God and exactly who he is. And of course, we far, far, far less. But at the same time, if you and I are a drop of God, that is sufficient. More than sufficient. Reading further. Now listen carefully. Now when it's said here that he emptied himself or poured out, because that's the word kenosis. Now watch. Now we think like this, that he vomited up. The English word emptied or poured out of him. In other words, if God poured out, would he go erp and vomit? How do you empty yourself? Well, how do you empty yourself? You vomit, you void, you defecate. Now, Brother Brown is bringing something to our attention here. And I do admit that this is a little horrendous. It's about more like Lee Vail than the sweet gentle William Brown I'm talking about vomiting. But the word kenosis in the Greek does not mean to vomit up, or something like an arm went off, or his eye went to another person. Now here's what he says the kenosis is, and you got to take what he said because he's the authority. That is, he changed himself, he poured himself into a man, into another mask, into another form. Not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. You get it? He poured himself into the people. Christ in you. How beautiful, how wonderful to think. God pouring himself into human beings, into the believer, pour out. It was a part of his drama to do so. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. That's kenosis right there. He was God and God alone, not a third person, not a second person or a first person, but the person, God veiled in human flesh. So if he actually literally indwelt Jesus Christ to make him what he was, he now himself indwells us proportionally, which would be merely a part of his life, sealing us back to himself, empowering us, making positive to us that we will be in the resurrection, the first resurrection, the bride, and be in that new Jerusalem. And it is God in you, willing and doing of his own good pleasure. Tell me, is that different from Jesus? Absolutely not. His brother Branham said he came the same way we did, except he did not bypass his spirit form or word form body. So, all right, you're beginning to understand. It's still the same God. Amen. I hope that gets through. Now, 281 verse, unveiling to God. When the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. What is in Jesus, it was God in flesh. See, only thing he did was change his mask, not his word, not his nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He not only changed his form, he changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David, from David to Joseph, on down till he came to the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's still the same God. So what did he do? He came into Paul, and at the end time, he came into William Branham. Ooh, I can't believe that. So don't believe it. So don't believe it. What are you going to stand on? Your own puny little ideas? Why, the theologian would blow every one of us into a cocked hat. If we don't stand on revelation, the revealed, vindicated word of God, don't try to stand on your brains, honey, because you don't have any when it comes to matching the world. Why? Because Satan sealed up the sum of wisdom, and he can flatten anybody at any time with his cute little ways of seduction, of flattery. of enjoining you to come into the dance. And he can flatten anybody at any time except for God. Even the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. When it came to contending for the body of Moses. All right. It's still the same God. Amen, amen. I hope that gets through, see. It is God, but he takes another veil, see. He puts on another veil. So many times people will not credit Brother Branham what he's saying about himself. When I wrote the little book for him, 20th Century Prophet, he said, Brother Bale, he said, this is the greatest weapon placed in my hands. He said, you see, because you can say it where I wouldn't dare say it. And you bet I said it. And I'm still saying it. I challenge you, find me one time I've changed anything from the church age book that he gave me the material to write and what I wrote myself. I challenge you, find the change. And the church age book is still the backbone of the entire ministry that's out there in the world today. And I haven't changed one thing except I've had a deeper and better understanding of it. For instance, Godhead would have eluded me except I knew there was one God and he had one son and the rest was received. But today I can put it all together like I'm doing now. Let's read some more. The Godhead bodily. The perfect image of the God-man, God on Morpheus, had changed from supernatural to the vision. And the vision was projected into the image. And the image was smitten so that supernatural could taste the feeling of death. Now let's go over that again. The perfect image of the God-man. I'm using the word image. God in a man. God changed from supernatural to the vision. And the vision was projected to the image. In other words, everything that God saw laid out there, Logos, came right into reality of a human being called Jesus, the Son of God. God's perfect masterpiece. He could not do it in Moses. He could not do it in the prophets. Isaiah, who was sawed, said he sawed to pieces. He could not do it in the prophets that were stoned. He could not do it because he couldn't feel it. They were just a portion of him. But in this perfect masterpiece, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God fully manifested himself by indwelling this person, Jesus, of whom Jesus said, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. Jesus indwelt it. Now God indwells this body in whom Jesus dwells, this body that belongs to Jesus, yep, actually belongs to God. So God comes in, he doesn't boot out Jesus, he resides within him. You have a duality. They were just a portion of him, but this perfect masterpiece, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why the perfect masterpiece? Because God wrapped himself in the sperm and the egg, began that body, absolutely, and because that life had to be there in the sperm and egg to contact the elements, the blueprint of God himself had to be in that manifestation. And we'll go into that later by scripture to show you that's actually what had to happen because God is a man. Brother Branham said so. God was the first man, Jesus the second, and Adam was the third. And that's what you're looking at. People think it's so strange. Is it strange that a kitten has kittens that look like cats? Is it strange that dogs have pups that look like dogs? It would certainly be strange to me if God had children that didn't look like it. Would be that. So, well, Brother Bagel, that's a different thing. Oh, that's a different thing. Well, bully for you. I appreciate your folly. Don't rub off on me, though, because I'm not a cat or a dog. My life came from God originally. And you better believe he had to put it in something that looked like him because Jesus was his image. Huh? Well, let your thinking go and stop being, you know. I was going to say the word stupid, but I'll change my mind. They were just a portion of him, but in this perfect masterpiece, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He could not only project Moses, he could project his entire being in this person and taste death for the whole human race. God's perfect masterpiece. God, so inspired by seeing it, he became the redeemer of all ages to speak for those in the backgrounds who had been there before and even now. In other words, you look back, you're present, you look forward, no change, same God that did it, is doing it, and will do it. Let me see if I can find that for you. Oh, I'm sure I can somewhere. I'm usually pretty good at finding things, but not always. All right, listen. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. In other words, you can only learn knowing the unchanging God. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. In other words, soon as man got a hold of it, changed it. But God remains unchanging. Now, this can only come through prophets. When a prophet comes, you fear them. How many feared Brother Branham? They were pelsy-welsy. They sneered. They mocked everything else. Same thing they did to Jesus, so it's okay. All the promises were met in him. He was the perfection of all their perfection. All types fulfilled in him. Our kinsman redeemer in Ruth and Boaz. Our lawgiver from Mount Sinai. Our prophet from the wilderness. As he came from the mountain. As he came from the wilderness. As he came from eternity and became man. The perfect image. In other words, he followed the perfect, complete pattern, but way above and beyond. Harvest time. God is a great sculptor, right? He made man in his image to reflect him, and he is the Word. Huh? And what did he do? He tried Adam. He failed. Moses failed. All the rest of them failed, but there was one perfect. Hallelujah. What was it? Nothing less than God himself in flesh. The Word reflected. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not a prophet, yet he was a prophet. Not a man, yet he was a man. In other words, Jesus was the mirror of God. You looked at him, and you saw God. That's 2 Corinthians, by the way, too. Jews, don't try to claim him as yours. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was God, see. You are what your blood is, see, and of course your flesh. And Mary, of course, Mary didn't have any conception with the Holy Ghost giving her a sensation. God the Father created a germ or an egg in Mary and a blood vessel in her also, and it was the blood of God. In other words, Brother Branham is denying the myth, the mythology of the gods coming down and having sexual intercourse with women. Now we feel and know that this is the truth, that the system were not in every age, and every one of their systems had to rot and die out until she brought forth that church. Out of that rotten mess came forth the Word itself. That's birth pains. The Word of the Lord came to the prophet, comes to the prophet. It never comes to the priest, it comes to the prophet. And notice, and when it did finally, that Word altogether was born here in human flesh. The fullness of God had rested in him. He was the Word. Who was the Word? Jesus was the Word. He had to be the Word, and God was the Word. Jesus was all of the Word allocated to him and to you and me. But God was the Word from which the Word comes. Eggs come from chickens. Huh? Word comes from Word. What did it produce? The life from the original Word. All this dope about what came first, the chicken or the egg. If there weren't any chickens, there wouldn't be any eggs, stupid. Evolution, forget it. He was the Word, he said, when they were accusing him, making himself equal with God because he was the Son of God, they said to him, well, you make yourself God. Well, how about that? If we're not a God race, then Brother Branham lied to us. Well, how could he have lied when he was vindicated? By the one that put us here. He said, isn't it written in your laws that those who the word of God came to are called gods or prophets? And they were, then how can you condemn them? And I say, I'm the Son of God. Where the fullness of God had bodily rested in the Son of God, he was the manifestation of God. What does the scripture say about today and about the time we live in? That's this day the scripture is fulfilled. Back in 1965, Jesus speaking. I won't have to take all the time to take them all, but I want to take this one before we close. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 30, Jesus Christ, the Word Himself. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ, the Word Himself, made flesh, spoke and said that the Word would be in the end time. Now, there's where you could believe right there that the Word became flesh is John 1:14, belongs to John 1:1, and makes Jesus the Word. Not so, my brother, my sister, not so. Not so. The prophets were the living Word of God made manifest, and how was it? In human flesh. And what about this? It's the same thing we're talking about. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, spoke and said, what word would be in the end time? What would be the sign of the end time world? He told them, nation rise against nation. But he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. Now, how was the Son of Man revealed? He's the prophet. He's the living Word of God made flesh. The Word for that hour becoming flesh. How can it be? Only with God in the vessel. And it'll have to be manifested that that's what it was. And I ask you today, was the ministry of Jesus Christ, which was back here on earth 2,000 years ago, made manifest in the 20th century in the life of William Branham? Absolutely. Oh, Brother Bale, that's too strange. How come Dr. Bosworth pulled my coattail in December 1953? And he said, Brother Bale, I prayed for 40 years for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. How come old Daddy Bosworth knew when all the Pentecostals stood around and said, a man sent from God, ain't it wonderful, but he ain't nothing to us. He just came here to show us what we can do, and bless God, we're going to do it. Where are they today? Where are the Tommy Osbournes? Where are the rest of them? Oh, yeah, back in Trinitarian dogma. And the whole world will attest to how beautiful their lives were and how beautiful their testimony, how beautiful their ministries, and how beautiful they all died. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to Trinitarian dogma, idolatry, that's what you will reap. Oh, Brother Vail, I believe in grace. I do too, but I don't believe in disgrace. When did grace ever operate apart from truth? I want to ask you that question. It's always, look at your scripture, it's always grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. Huh? Look at that. That's why Jack Bell calls it truth, grace, church, grace, and truth. Now, when Jesus, in other words, don't go to Jack Bell's truth expecting grace without the word. You're going to get disappointed. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he came in the name of three sons, Son of Man, which is prophet, Son of God, and Son of David. Now, he lived here on earth. He never did say he was the Son of God, only in the fact of the matter that he was the Son of God in the respect of having come. He said, I am the Son of Man. Jehovah himself called Ezekiel in the prophet Son of Man, because he had to come and fulfill the scriptures of prophet. And Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. That's the reason he could not be the Son of God there, because he was a Son of Man. He, the Word, came to the prophets, and he was the Word in his fullness. And remember, Brother Branham quotes where Jesus came to John, and the Word always comes to the prophets. And so he was that Word that was to come through the prophet. The Word came to the prophets, and he was the Word in his fullness, Son of Man, the major prophet, not the major prophet, but the God prophet. Brother Branham corrects himself. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him, therefore he was the Son of Man. Just like the rest of the prophets, but he was that prophet. Spoken of that if you don't listen to him, it's all over. Now remember, when Jesus was that prophet, remember now carefully, was that prophet, Israel, all of them, did not die, and the Gentiles did not die. But there's coming a time, according to Acts 3, that those who do not receive him, perfect destruction. And that's its hour when the Son of God, risen from the dead, Jesus, comes back in the form of the Holy Ghost, which is God himself, in the prophet, William Branham, make him that prophet. It's all over for the Gentiles. And when Jesus comes back and appears to the Jews, it's all over for the Jews. And the whole earth goes up in flames. It's all gone. And the bride comes back with the earth either fully renovated or partly. Brother Branham said he didn't know which. And there the temple worship is set up. Christ, again, incarnating God. The bride and all, they have their own homes, they have everything. And they set the millennial order up, which is you and me and those of the children of God who will be there living the lives we've always wanted to live. And the first time, really happy, really at peace, really free, because there'll be no body of sin. No body of sin. Nothing to tempt. Millions of temptations could fly around us. We wouldn't even know they're there. We'd be just dead to them. Now for 2,000 years he'd be known as the Son of God's Spirit. That's what I'm telling you. And the millennium be the Son of David upon the throne. We all know that. We believe that. But today, the Son of Man revealed. In other words, the same prophet right now. Same ministry. One day when I started to preach these seven church ages, I called Jack Moore, a great theologian. I said, Jack, who's this person standing there? There's one like the Son of Man standing there. It actually, the scripture does not say one like the Son of Man. It says one like a Son of Man. Now remember, in the Bible, every word is explicit. Otherwise, it wouldn't come out into sevens. Very strange mathematics, but it does. And it couldn't be done by anybody, even with a computer. Although you can take a computer and make a lot of things say a lot of different things, that's fine by me. But let's see a person do that. And if he did make it come in sevens, it wouldn't work anyway because nothing would be true. This is the truth. The only reason the Bible comes in sevens, as far as I can see it, is that everything is measurement. There's nothing that's not measurements. Everything is measurement. Try as you will, you can't get away from measurement. Even though God is infinite in his capacities, God himself is measured, and he's limited by his own godhoodness. And Brother Branham said that, and there's nobody will not agree with that if you believe in theology at all. All right. Who is this one like a Son of Man, hair as white as wool? I said he was a young man. How could he have hair as white as wool? And Brother Branham said it was his glorified body. That didn't ring the bell. But when I went to the room and prayed, he let me know what it was. See, I've always preached that he was deity, not just a man. He was God manifest in flesh. Now look, that's telling you one thing, positively, that God has to be back in that body to qualify. And when he's in that body, God's doing it regardless. The body is only there as a manifestation. See, all right, listen. He was God manifest in the flesh. See, but once God was in flesh and separated, when does he come back into it? Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we will crown a king, a king, and Lord of lords. That will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the altogether lovely, the rose of Sharon. Huh? That's what he said. I'm not making it up. See, when you know the doctrine, it all falls into place. If you don't know the doctrine, you're out of luck. There's a church up in Canada that broke away from another church, and they said, we're leaving doctrine outside the door. You can't worship God apart from doctrine. So what's your doctrine going to be? Can't be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm not being unkind. I listen. I'm fighting for my life. I stand here to defend the gospel. I'm not here to be friendly and nice with people. You know that. I can walk out of here tomorrow, leave you sitting here. It doesn't bother me one little bit. I don't have allegiance to people. I'm a servant of God. I serve God by serving people. I'm preaching. I'm doing my job. It's not just a job, it's my life. I love God by loving people. See? At least I'm supposed to. Prophet said so. I got to go by the prophet. See? Now, he was God manifest in the flesh, in the flesh, God. The attribute of God of love, the great attributes that came down here, displayed here on earth of God. Well, the display was through flesh. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, everlasting life. When God gave his Son, it ultimately ended up in death. But the love gift was to the people. And had they believed John, the kingdom would have come unto them. They didn't do it. But those who did believe, the kingdom of God came, but was delayed until all the bride is in. Now, we believe in Brother Branham, the kingdom of God has come unto us. We know that because devils were cast out. Every spirit under the building, if they're 1 million or 5 million, were taken under control. The kingdom of God has come unto us. And we're just waiting now for the pillar of fire, the presence, to lead us into the millennium. And he'll do it by raising the dead and changing us and taking us to the wedding supper and keeping us there for 3.5 years or 4.5, whatever it is, and then coming down on earth to the millennium. Now that's the picture. And time and eternity are blended. I've always preached he was deity, God manifest in flesh, the attribute of God's love. The attribute. What was the attribute? Jesus in flesh. And he displayed God on earth. Jesus was God's love, which built a body that Jehovah himself lived in. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It took the two of them. Not one of them. Jesus wasn't the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was Jehovah, big Jehovah and little Jehovah, right? Little Jehovah crying. Little Jehovah. Well, certainly it was Jehovah because Jesus means Jehovah Savior. See? Jesus came in his father's name. They both had the same name. So if you said Jesus, I say, which Jesus? Big Jesus, little Jesus. Father or son. And remember, they're identical except sons have beginnings. That's essentially. Essentially. And we essentially the same. But we got all muckraked and tripped up, put here in the flesh to be tested. And boy, oh boy. The very command that God gave, be fruitful and multiply, gave you a sex drive. What are you doing with it? What is the world doing? I showed you last night. Homosexuals, lesbians. My God, 6-year-olds know more about sex than when I was 12 years old. We were told to contain ourselves. It was taught. Do you know that homosexuality was called buggery and was a criminal offense? Come on, wake up and go back to the past a little bit. God hasn't changed, but the world has, and the devil hasn't changed either. He's the same rotten scuzzball he ever was. And he seduced the whole world in Eve by sex, and he's doing the same thing right today until there's nothing left but sexuality, and that's gone to morbidity and death and everything else, and has brought every failure and rotten sin upon the world. Because they perverted, and the perversion came right off the bat from the command of God, which meant simply that you would have a sex drive you could not deny. There would be procreation, but you control it into marriage and one wife, just as Adam was. Mormons tried to fool me on that one time. This Mormon girl married Chris. She married the mayor of Calgary, Alberta. His name was Don McKay. And she said, well, Lee, she said, I tell you, Jacob had two wives. I said, yeah, but Adam only had one. Stupid woman willing to be in a harem or something. What a nut. But women's lib is the same stupid thing. Any number of men run with them, or this or that. Hollywood glorifies childbirth out of marriage. Lesbians so proud of themselves they still want to have a baby to get artificial insemination or lay with some man. You ever seen such filth? All because the command of God, be fruitful and multiply, and every word of God has been perverted from the moment it left his mouth, or almost. I hope you're picking up what I'm driving at, because if you don't, you don't see what I see, and you don't understand what's going on. You're just standing there wonder. I don't wonder, I know. At least what I know that I know. I don't know everything, my God, I certainly don't want to. See, he was the fullness of Godhead bodily. What God was, he manifested through that body. And that body had to die so that he could wash the bride with his own blood. All right. But the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. Remember, you that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight, you were in Christ. Huh? Because he was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Do you believe that? Look, he was in Christ. He was in Christ. He's emphasizing it. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with him here on earth, you talked with him on earth, you suffered with him on earth, you died with him at Calvary. Brother Branham even went so far as to say you paid for your own sins there. Did he not? Oh, he certainly did. That throws people for a loop, doesn't it? Well, where's grace? Oh my, people just can't take the truth. They simply cannot do it, brother, sister. Yeah. Yeah, they will worry about a gnat and swallow a camel. They can't take the little fine print that Brother Branham brings. But oh, they'll believe the devil's lie every single time. You will not all die. Oh no, the devil's lies. You shall not surely die. Oh, millions now living will never die. Well, there's an element of truth in that. They'll never die till they're annihilated. But you better believe the Word of God, brother. I'm not a judge here standing here and telling you. I'm just preaching the Word of God, that's all. You know, the herald, he's in the Bible, and the herald was the king's messenger, and he blew a trumpet, and he threw the scroll over the wall and galloped on, and they did what they wanted with the Word. It wasn't his business to enforce it. He merely brought it. But the king enforced it. Amen. I like that. It's out of my hands. I couldn't preach anybody into heaven or give anybody salvation or healing or anything else, but the Word of God can. And it's found in the mouths of men that are sinners. Children gone astray, disobedient from their parent, but not children of disobedience. See, Cain was a child of disobedience. Abel was a child of obedience. That's why we got all this serpent seed and all this mess, because they perverted the Word of God in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. Oh my, you got the means, so go ahead. Yeah, yeah. You'll understand someday, brother, sister, what I'm talking about. You'll understand the way I understand it, because I do understand it. I'm not fooling myself for 1 minute what's going on. Only would to God I'd have 1/10 of the teaching I give people. I'd have had it when I was a young man. Yet I kept my vessel, or God did it for me. Yeah. There's a great satisfaction knowing that you walked in the light. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with him here on earth. You walked with him on earth. You suffered with him on earth. You died with him at Calvary. And you rose with him again. And now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ, communing with him, the Word, as it feeds into your soul. Man shall live by word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not Methodist word, Baptist word. Remember, if there's any left over in the sacrifice, it must be burned before morning. Pentecostal age is done, gone. The gifts and everything else are gone with it. You're in a new age, which is the Word age, which is the Ephesian age. Gifts are superseded by the Word. I personally asked Brother Branham, Brother Branham, the gifts have ceased from my life. Is it because the age of gifts is over? He said, yes, Brother Bale, the age of gifts is over. Do you think you would lie to me? Certainly not. Certainly not. When he himself, by the supernatural picture, those flames of fire, God said all of the nine gifts are still in your possession. Did he use them? Did he put the church in order? Well, you answer your own question. Where was it done if he did? He wanted me to work with him, especially because he knew I understood gifts to a degree perhaps no other person around him understood them, which I wanted a special service for believers in the morning where gifts would be operated and put to the test. And then I said I'd like him in the morning where the church, where they weren't judged, but in the church local they would be judged. He said, well, Lee, I agree to a degree with you, but he said they don't go in the other service. They just go in this one service. And because I was the one person who had enough light on the subject at that time that he was willing to work with me, he tried to get a place in Louisville. It was sold out. He wanted me to go to Chicago, pastor the church there. And they turned me down, and believe me, I turned them down too when I saw what was going on. So we never ever got a church where the gifts would be operated, because he said, Lee, if you go there, I'll come up, we'll put the gifts in operation. So if the prophet didn't do it, how am I going to do it? I'm not against gifts or anything. I am not against anything. I just refuse to attempt to handle what I can't handle as though I could handle it. And until I know there's a person positively identified with discerning a spirit standing at the door. And that's the law the prophet laid down. I can't do anything about gifts. And frankly, I'm a little smug about it. A little flicker of joy floods my rotten little heart to say, well, okay, you're off the hook. I only hope I am, because I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. Now, not Methodist word, Baptist word, remember, anything was left over, it was burnt. Because tomorrow is another church age. Remember in 1955, when the stars all aligned, was the birth of a virgin church, right? Exodus, that's where the sacrifice was burnt. A symbol of type. You get rid of the past, the way Paul did. Whatever you were, it's all over. Are you dragging something with you this morning? Or can you take every thought and bring it in captivity, what Brother Branham said, and judge it by the actual reality of the doctrine? There is one God, and Jesus is not God. He is the Son of God. He can be worshipped and call God as the prophet right up there with Elohim, because even the prophets down here were God to the people. Yep, didn't do that. But he's not God, he's the Son of God. And he was in the adoption, as you and I are coming into it in our today. There is one God, period. And Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore, in his own right, a God. And you and I, to whom the word of the prophets have come having received it in our own rights, we are lesser, but gods, because we are of God. Right? It's absolutely a kingdom set up with one Father, who brought forth this Son, who gave Adam and Eve the right to produce those children. And there they are, those children. And it'll all be made manifest on that day. And even at the end, at the white throne, of which the bride has no part, the sheep and goats will be separated. Foolish virgin from those that never had anything in the first place. Because as in all Adam all died, even so in Christ, everyone is made alive. Not one missing. And the word even so means in identical manner. You had no provision of your own wherein you spoke anything concerning it. And at the end time, it's the same way. For God hath chosen and predestinated, And it wasn't that God said, I'll take this and I'll leave that, I'll grab this and I'll put this to one side. No, 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 it's lineage. It's lineage. And out of the Bolter cloth, God cut the bride. And the same cloth, foolish virgin, they're all virgins. But you see, one didn't have the word for the, as the vessel for the oil. And so they come up out of denominations. But they'll come in at the white throne. And people think that's the most horrendous thing in all the world to say that. Because you see, brother, they, you must be born again. Oh, no, 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 no. It's the bride that's born again. The rest are not born again. But he said, Adam all died, as in Adam. And remember, they were in Christ to begin with. In identical manner. Predestination, sovereign God, where no one dares to say, why do you do this and why have you done it and why don't you do so and so? And he says, as a kindly father, you'll learn one day, and I hope it's not too late, because I'd like to see you come here at least 30-fold, it'll be 30-fold at least, or 60 or 100. It's up to you and me. Now, if we sow the word of God, continuously stand back for God to bless it, we holding steady, the sky is the limit. It's the limit. 100-fold. That's perfection. Every sowing is a reaping. Every sowing is a gaining. And remember, whatever you get stops with you. But with whatever you give, sowing goes on and on till it reaches God. And then see what God does with it. All right, we got part of this covered. And if we live long enough and something happens where I can... It's very difficult for me to preach. If I'm going to preach by Friday, I'm upset. I don't sleep. I hardly sleep Saturday. It begins to wear me down until by the time I get relaxed again and feel better, it's back to a very, very, very... personally a hard problem. So I never guarantee anything these days or tell anybody to do anything. I just have to sort of play it by ear, and I hope my ear's in tune, and I hope my body can work with my ears or whatever it is that's going on. So let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the time we've had together concerning what the prophet taught us. So we know, Lord, that so many people may think and get in terms of this is a dry fodder, and I know many do. Many even call it a lie. They don't even believe what we teach. But we know, Lord, in spite of it all, it's the living word of God. And at times, Lord, it's just like a little bit of a poppy seed, hard, almost like a rock. We know, Lord, that as soon as you pour your spirit upon it, it blossoms up, becomes a part of us, and is living food for the Christ within us, and building up the inner man, though the outer man perish. And one day, Lord, I believe that people are going to be healed sitting in their seats, Lord. This word, it absolutely, Father, the potential is there. I believe what the prophet said is true. I believe we've seen the great miracles and power of God that vindicated the word. But I also believe, Lord, that in your word lies everything that the prophet said was available to us and is ours. And Father, by your, I hope somehow, by us pinching ourselves awake to reality, that the reality of your word forming in us will blossom forth as you want it to blossom forth. Not as we want it, but as you want it. And we know it'll be wondrous, absolutely glorious, even though it may be like a little snowflower somewhere there in the Arctic area, perhaps not seen by people, but only by your eye and one or two observers. But it'll be wonderful in our sight because it is of God. We appreciate it, and down deep we'll be so grateful and so joyful within us that we cannot sing your praises and shout them loud enough or high enough or long enough or great enough, Lord, because thou art God and thou art worthy. And so we ask your blessing, Lord, in helping us wherever we fail to make up the difference, which we know you will, but may we recognize it. and unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.